All right, it's the Pop Tower Podcast, episode 35. I'm Peter W. Dawson.
I'm James Bullock.
And we're here to talk about video games and movies. Hey, James.
What?
Let me ask you something.
What's up?
Do you often find yourself getting trapped in a bath?
Usually when it does happen, I have lobsters in it.
Fair enough. See, whenever that happens, you know, what I usually do is I always consult the web to find a good way out. Yeah.
But does it ever get smelly?
Frequently. I mean, it's a bath. You're literally sitting there in your own bodily juices with no filtration system actively passing through. Baths are kind of disgusting.
I know when you really think about it.
Yeah. It's not the same as like a hot tub where they have active water pumping
and
going.
It's pumping,
you know.
And it's actually warm, and at times, if you're not careful, scalding.
Yep. But in the end, all that matters is you got it. And nothing, everything else, that's just gravy.
You got my joke.
Yep. It was a long way, but in the meantime, all right, so we're going to talk about...
Actually, that was one of my favorite lines of the entire game. I'm not going to lie.
Oh, absolutely. I took me a second to remember how it goes. But, yeah, as you just hinted at, we are going to talk about a video game today as well as a movie. And you can probably figure out what the movie's going to be based on what the game we're going to talk about is. So, like,
well, they have no relationship.
Yeah, it's weird. So, we're going to talk about Marvel's Spider-Man, or just Spider-Man, which is the new 2018 video game. It just came out September 7th,
yeah.
And it is exclusively for the PlayStation 4.
That's right.
Yeah, we've actually talked about quite a few PS4 exclusives on the show, I mean, just because all the Yakuza games.
Yeah, that's true, that's very true.
And God of War.
Yep.
Can we safely say 2018 has been a really good year for Sony exclusives?
It really has been.
Because, I mean, like, I think I know what my game of the year is going to be already, and it is also going to probably be a Sony exclusive. I thought it was going to be a PC exclusive, but I've turned the corner. Yeah. So, just a little background real quick. So the Spider-Man game is actually developed by Insomniac Games, which it's interesting because they've basically been known for three franchises. Like, the one that got them started was Spyro the Dragon.
Right.
Which is actually getting an HD remake. I think it just came out, or is it about to come out?
I think it's about to come out.
Yeah, it's in that neighborhood of the first three games, which I believe are the only games. Because the franchise technically only ran from 98 to 2000.
Right.
It was a three-year franchise. But then probably the biggest one of the three they have is Ratchet and Clank.
Right.
Which has been going on for quite a while. Yeah, the first one was in 2002, and they had one as recently as 2016. And then they also had Resistance, which is probably the least beloved of the three, although I could be wrong. But that went for a bit as well, and I believe those were Sony exclusives, because most of these games have been Sony exclusives, more or less.
Right.
I mean, we've seen some multi-platform stuff, and they did also do Sunset Overdrive for Xbox One.
Yeah, and that was the most interesting one from the perspective of how this game turned out.
Yeah, because that's probably the one that had the most influence on this. So Spider-Man is an open-world, free-roaming game that clearly takes influence from a lot of other games of a genre. Like, you can see some Batman... Arkham franchise influence, you can see some Assassin's Creed influence. Trying to think of another good one to throw in there.
I mean, pretty much any Ubisoft game in the last five years.
Like I said, especially Assassin's Creed, just because of, like, the scaling of the city and stuff.
Right.
But it also takes some cues from the very, probably the most beloved movie tie-in video game, the Spider-Man 2 game.
I was about to say, yes.
Yeah, because that one is known for having some of the best web-slinging in any Spider-Man game.
And some of the best combat in any Spider-Man game.
Yeah, and it definitely takes at least a few cues from that. I'd have to replay Spider-Man 2 to remember exactly how well they line up, but There's definitely a few that tie together. And this one tells an original story that plays very interestingly with Spider-Man continuity.
Yes.
Like, Peter's, he's working for, what is it, Empire State University?
Yeah.
Yeah, I can never remember exactly what uni. Yeah, he doesn't work for the Daily Bugle at the moment, but he works for Empire State University as the research assistant to Otto Octavius, who is not Doc Ock at the beginning of the game.
No, not at all. He's just a very friendly scientist with some real big dreams, and we find out exactly why he's like so determined to get this thing that he's working on up and running.
He's just like the loveliest
I
man.
know, he's such a lovely guy. Like, you feel bad for him because, like, if you're thinking about, okay, I know what he becomes eventually, even if it doesn't happen in the video game, I know what he becomes. But the person that he is beforehand, oh man, how can you
I
not
know.
love him?
He's one of those people I will happily call adorable, because in that I just want to hug him. Like, if you ever find it odd that I call a man adorable, I mean, like, this is a huggable dude, is what I'm saying. And he's a perfect example of
It
it.
happens really early too with him, because there's a moment, not to really spoil anything, because it happens
Yeah.
really early in the game, but he kind of discovers that Peter's has a little secret, and
Yep.
after he finds out, he emails him this really nice letter and explains how he wants to help him.
I know, like, he's just so cool about it. Yeah, it's very much hits all the classic Spider-Man staples with some interesting twists. I mean, like, they've established he's been Spider-Man since he's been 15, I think.
Yeah, it's been 8 years now he's been Spider-Man. Which
Yeah.
is one of the funniest things, because we find out that Aunt May is working at a shelter, and she continuously says how much he's doing Uncle Ben proud. Like, and she's like pretending the entire time, like, we don't know what's going on with you.
I know, it's funny. It like so many just interesting design choices here, and like narratively, because it's been 8 years, some of the villains are already established, but we also get origin stories for some new ones.
Yes.
Like the like without giving too much away about him, because I'm gonna try to avoid too many spoilers aside from establishing where some familiar characters are at. We do get the origin for Mr. Negative, who
Right.
is the character. Like the character they were probably showing off the most. Like, remember, we couldn't think of his name. And yeah, we also. But there's also references or appearances. I'm not going to say exactly which of, like, people like Shocker, Rhino, and Kraven.
Yeah,
Just to name a few.
Scorpion shown, like, and this is not even like spoiler, like, oh my gosh, you're gonna fight him. The fact is, like, right at the beginning of the game, they have like a little side scroll. It's a scroll across Peter Parker's apartment, and he
Yeah.
has all the newspaper clippings of him, of Spider-Man defeating these villains.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, because it's interesting what rogues in his rogues gallery they decided to say, all right, these ones are taken out, these ones are in, and go from there.
Right.
Oh yeah, and to quickly establish part of the premise of the game, like this happens in the first scenes. So, a major hook of the game is in the opening scenes. Peter finally helps the NYPD capture Wilson Fisk, you know, the Kingpin. So, like, a major part of the game is just the resulting power vacuum,
Right.
which is something that J. Jonah Jameson
Oh.
hilariously riffs. I don't even know how to describe it, because he's clearly inspired by, you know, radical abrasive podcasters.
Yes,
I'm not gonna
yes.
name names because I don't want to get,
Yeah, I mean,
but
it comes across somewhat as leftist, and then other times like complete right. So
I got more right than
I
left.
know, but it's like later on in the game, it kind of swings back to the left. But at the beginning, it's just full blown. Like, he is every political shock jock you could think of. Like,
Oh
just
yeah,
roll
it's
into one.
he interrupts his own like prologue announcer guy, which is pretty amazing. Like, and it's top notch, J. Jonah Jameson. Like, it's essentially his show is people call in, express their opinion, and then he rips them up to shreds to tell them why they're wrong.
Right, and they will call in. Like, the first thing he will say is like, okay, this person has seen the light, and they've seen what Spider-Man, the kind of damage Spider-Man does, and the caller will say, well, actually, Spider-Man saved me from a burning building, And I love the fact he'll twist it. Well, did you ever think that maybe Spider-Man set that fire and then he saved you on purpose?
Yeah. Like, it's very close to parody J. Jonah Jameson. Where, like, I don't know if you've ever read I Don't Want Your Civil War. There's that scene early on where Miriam Sharp's yelling at Tony Stark in that, and then J. Jonah Jameson's there, and the parody version of J. Jonah Jameson looks at Miriam Sharp and says, "I bet Spider-Man made that woman cry." That is very close to what J. Jonah Jameson is like in this game. Like, this is, if there's any, like, it's, it really is amazing, but it is potentially a little too over the top. I still loved it, though.
I loved it every bit. Like, it was like long periods where I would just actually be swinging around waiting for the next one to pop off.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I should mention, Mary Jane is, of course, a major character in the game.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to give away, because they do kind of do little reveals with what she's doing now, as well as, so maybe I won't give that away.
Yeah, we can just say that she's busy trying to be a hero.
In her own way, yeah, that's probably the most, it's probably the most essential way of putting it, and she's frustrated with Peter because, like, this I think we could mention, like, a major, because it's a major part of their relationship, she knows he's Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like, at some point before the game, he's told her, and she accepted it, but at the same time, she acknowledged it was causing too much of a strain on their relationship.
Yeah.
So, like, it's not inherent, like, it's, you know, maybe a little selfish of her, but at the same time, it's not like, you need to stop being Spider-Man. It's more complicated than that. It's not trying to be simplistic with the reasons why everything kind of went apart with them, which I appreciate.
Mm-hmm.
And what's funny is when I saw, seeing the early scenes with her really kind of brought home to me, the motion capture in this is both really good and kind of awkward.
Yeah, there was
especially with the mouths.
Oh, that was, I was about to say that. There are several moments. It's not as bad during the full-fledged cutscenes.
No.
But when it comes to just random encounters or side quests, good lord, it's terrible.
Yeah. Yeah, like, the mouths are just kind of weird. Like, I had this problem with Until Dawn and some other games like that as well. But, man, like, it's there's just not been any progression on that front in the last few years.
Did you ever have a problem with the mouths not moving when people were talking?
Yep.
Yep.
You know, for as pretty as this game is, and, like, just generally well-designed as it is, there's some obvious glitches, unfortunately.
Yeah, Shadow of the Tomb Raider has the same exact problem.
Yeah. I haven't played that yet, so yeah. I couldn't tell you.
No, but it's the same thing. It's the craziest. These games came out not too far away from each other, had the same exact problem.
Yeah. This seems to be the new norm for glitches for the licks, and I wouldn't shock me if Assassin's Creed Odyssey is going to have that problem, too. I haven't even touched that yet, but we'll see. No, but despite what I just said, like, this, like, I don't know if there's any more background we really need to cover.
No,
I think we've
no.
covered all the main. Yeah. This game is very Todd Howard in that it just works.
Yeah.
Like, despite the glitch we just talked about here with the weird mouths, the fluidity of the game between combat, web slinging, and everything is so freaking good. Like, in terms of just core gameplay alone, easily one of the best games of the year for me.
Easily. I cannot,
like,
have any doubt in my mind that it definitely is one of the top, for just from a gameplay perspective.
Yeah. Like, when you're playing it and you know what you're doing, it flows perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there'll be occasional hiccups because, like, you'll notice kind of the goofier elements of the animation when that happens, which is inevitable, because, I mean, but they really put you in the shoes of Spider-Man too. Like, they do spider sense really well, they do web slinging really well, combat is very fluid and intuitive. I mean, like, just the core gameplay is perfect, pretty much. I mean, I'm sure there's little improvements, but I can't even really nitpick it.
The only thing I will nitpick is just spider
okay.
sense. That's it. Because sometimes, especially when it comes to large groups of enemies, spider sense isn't the most effective tool.
Yeah, fair enough.
Because, like, it doesn't tell you, like, what direction this person's kind of hitting you from and what have you. But this is very minor. Like, it doesn't...
Yeah.
It's something that you really get used to very quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and...
For web slinging, the only problem I have is sometimes is just the fact like you try to turn a corner or try to get a certain angle, it just kind of gets awkward. But like from a traversal standpoint, like the only real issue I have with the game, once again, like the web slinging, you can get used to that. It's just moving around like the ceilings and stuff like that, because they only do it a few times in the game that make you want to have to do it, and it just feels awkward. Yeah, like that's the only problem I really have from a movement perspective.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, like, the story's really good. It does do a few things that I'm kind of sick of, but you just kind of have to accept with comic
Yeah,
book
it's a comic book
plots.
game.
Which is not the last time we're probably going to say that on this. Like, a couple of things disappointed me, but I'm like, you know what? This still works, and they still do it right. Like, there's some familiar tropes that I'm just like, yeah, that's I guess that's fine. And they've definitely set up some interesting elements for potential future games as well.
Yeah.
So I'm perfectly on board with that. And they do tell a complete story, which I always appreciate.
Yeah, that's one
Hate
thing
when
they
these
did.
game.
They definitely left a not to spoil anything, but they definitely left a room open for a sequel. But
Oh,
if
yeah.
there isn't one, you're easily satisfied with the overall story.
Well, it's absolutely fine as a standalone game, but you can definitely see how the adventure will continue because it would being Spider-Man. And I was gonna mention like the Easter eggs in this game are pretty phenomenal
Yeah.
because one thing we haven't talked about, not only are there a bunch of cute little things like Avengers Tower, and I'll mention it even though I don't like the guy, Mr. Greg Miller, shirtless Spider-Man. He's in there. I'm not a fan of his, but it is cool that that's in the game.
Yeah, that was one big thing about this game is just the customability of it, of the overall package. Not only can you have like special gadgets you can use, but the main thing is like the suits, which I really enjoy, is the fact like each suit has its own ability, and you can actually mix and match the abilities with the suits.
That's the part that I really like, because it makes the suit customization thing way more interesting. Because I mean, already with the new suits you can unlock, you wear them during cutscenes,
Right.
which can lead to some hilarious cutscenes.
Yeah, I have.
Because you get.
Oh yeah, like I said, you have underwear Spider-Man just randomly talking, having a great moment with Mary Jane.
And of course, one of the early ones you can unlock is the one they're pushing for the new Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, Spider-Man Noir,
Yeah.
which is a pretty cool costume, I have to say, for like an all black.
Yeah.
But yeah, just the fact that not only can you unlock the costumes, but the abilities you unlock with the costumes can be transferred, such a refreshing thing, because it's usually just like, oh no, these abilities are only for this gear.
Right, exactly. And then that was the first thing I thought about when I was like, oh, well, I had to switch suits, and if I do, I'm gonna lose my ability. And then I found out that you don't. You can just switch it willy-nilly, like you just do whatever. I was like, wow, this is a great way of doing it because there are so many suits I wanted to try out, but there are only certain abilities I wanted to use. And being able just to try on any suit I wanted and still keep my abilities was such a just a godsend for design choice.
I know, and like you always run into this problem when it's like when stats and gear are combined.
Yeah.
It's like, why can't you just have your cosmetic option and your stat option be separate, but still somehow tied together? And this game does that perfectly.
Yes.
Like, I cannot stress enough, like, if it wasn't for the fact, like I said, that the gameplay was so fluid, this would be my favorite feature. Like, legit. I mean, it's something that's so basic, yet so many games don't do,
Just
and it
don't get it
always annoys
right.
the hell out of me. And they even put it in, was it, the old Star Wars: The Old Republic, and then they made it premium content.
Yeah.
I was just like, that's evil. I did want to talk about a few things I don't like about this game that are, I think, a little more than nitpicks, but
Okay,
do you have anything else
I
you
want
want
to
to?
see if we're on the same page with those.
Well, I could probably. Okay, so how do you feel about the lab research mini games where you have to like dick around with pipeworks and stuff?
I didn't mind them. Like, I think I actually liked them a lot more than other people did.
Well, I just don't like that you basically stop the game for them.
Right, that was the only thing. Like, it was fine, like, having those moments where, like, okay, for example, because you have one of the circuits. And this actually can be connected to one of the crime missions that you could do where they had to stop a bomb. Like, that made sense. Or there were times when you were, like, working with Ock, and he was like something was malfunctioning and you went in and did it. Like that made sense. But just like, okay, he pretty much just like has extra credit on the computers that he can work on.
Yeah.
Like that was just kind of silly. But like as an overall puzzle feature, I was fine with it. It was just the way they implemented it in certain areas I thought was kind of just, like just padding.
Yeah, the extra credit part is where it felt like more of a grind.
Right.
And like that's kind of the thing, because this game in general is really good at not being a grind, but there's two specific areas that I feel are really grindy. Okay. That's one of them, especially with the extra credit thing.
Right.
And the second one, I'm curious what you think of this, is the responding to crimes in progress thing.
I enjoyed it at first.
Yeah.
And then, like, when we get to the latter half of the game, and it's like another whole set of crimes pop up.
Yeah.
It was like, okay, I gotta go through all of this all over again.
Yeah.
It's the same thing.
I want to explain what that is real quick.
Yeah, definitely.
So, like, one of the things that's, you know, a pretty good feature for an open world game, in theory anyway, is that you can respond to crimes in progress, because Spider-Man has a police scanner. So you can go to, like, you know, and just kind of thwart crimes, you get experience and stuff like that to unlock stuff. The problem is, they made it a repeatable thing for every borough.
Mm-hmm.
Or not even borough, it's, like, areas, because, like, Harlem isn't a borough, that's just a part of Manhattan, right?
Right.
Manhattan's the borough, if I'm remembering my New York terminology, says the Canadian, who's never been to New York City. So, as a result, it's like, it's probably the most grindy part, very much in the Ubisoft vein. You know, it's like where you have to do all these things every time you unlock a new area. It's like, well, you have to respond to all these crimes if you want to unlock everything in this new area.
It's pretty much five crimes per, like, whatever category you're fighting. So it's like thugs.
Yeah.
What was the other one? The demons. Like, you had those kind of categories. So it's about, what, 30 or 40 crimes per category.
Yep.
And you have to do all of them if you want to get 100%. And it's one of those things where it's just, okay, either you're beating up a person, or you're, like, the very rare ones. Like, they had ones that you could, like, find a person that's been kidnapped, or you could save a person from a burning, a wrecked car. Like, those are rare. And kind of shook it up a little bit and made it a little bit more interesting. But the majority of them was just, okay, you have to go beat up these people.
Yeah. I mean, this is what I'm saying. It's probably the least... And it gets really annoying because if you don't do them when they first prompt you to do them while you're just slinging around, you'll later on, if you want to get 100%, and I should emphasize, this is also tied to costumes.
Yeah.
This isn't just for a trophy. I mean, it is also for a trophy. But yeah, to get like all the costumes, you do have to do this. And it's, for a game that otherwise is really good at not being a grind, that just it's a bit of an irritant. I think they made the requirements slightly too high.
Yeah, that was a big deal because, like, to me, the first set, if they just, that was it, that'd be perfectly fine.
Yeah.
But then when you get to the latter half of the game, it's like a whole nother, or just a repetition set, followed by another repetition set. It just was too much.
Yeah. It quickly loses you, and it's like, come on. Which is a shame, because, like, this is... I mean, the other thing I didn't really like is they have time trials.
Yeah.
And I've never been the biggest fan of time trials.
Yeah, I got gold on all of them just because of the, like you were saying, if you need to get all the suits, you need the tokens that come with completion of all the pretty much side quests.
Yeah.
And for the heck of it, I just got gold on everything to make sure I had enough.
But that was not so bad.
That was annoying. That really was.
Yeah.
Just long-winded and annoying.
Yeah, I mean... It's not really a damning indictment against this game because, like I said, like we've said, you see this in everything. Like, you saw this in Shadow of Mordor / Shadow of War. You see it in all the Assassin's Creed games. You see it in the Far Cry games. You know, basically every Ubisoft game. But it is kind of disappointing that this game that in so many ways elevates the genre is still kind of in the muck on that.
Yeah,
on that front.
I think that's, like, the biggest fault with Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. It's just the feel that, hey, I've done this so many times over again.
I know. Like, if this is your first sandbox game.
Oh,
oh man,
this would be just incredible. This would be like an experience that you never imagined could be in a video game. But for people like ourselves who have played so many of these games over the past 5 to 6 years,
yeah,
it just feels so much like them. But the only difference is that one is Spider-Man. Only difference is one is Spider-Man, and two is done very well.
Yeah, like for many people, this is the Spider-Man game they've been waiting for.
Right.
Like, yeah, a whole generation's gone by, because, I mean, Spider-Man 2 came out in 2004, which was 14 years ago, James.
Yeah, that's crazy.
14 years ago.
But 14
years ago, Tobey Maguire was arguing with Bruce Campbell so he could go and see Kirsten Dunst. You feel old yet, James?
No, actually, I don't, because I'm still trying to chase. I'm still trying to follow that train, CJ.
Well,
that was 14 years ago, too, man.
That's true.
Man, that's crazy.
Very true.
One of my favorite games of all time. But back to Spider-Man, like the only big nitpick I have, like I said, besides a little bit of the repetitious side stuff that you can do, that I mean, really, you don't have to do it if you don't want to get 100%. Like, if you want to get 100%, of course, you have to do it.
But that, like I said, there's more incentive than average to do it,
right,
too.
Right, with this, with the suits, with the gadgets.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that's available for you to purchase. And before I even move on to this point, we have to remind everyone, with in-game currency, no microtransactions with this game, you can get everything with just playing it.
Yep.
But the biggest flaw I have with this game has to be the boss battles.
Okay, yeah, I could see why you would feel that way, yeah.
Because there is a first boss battle you have with Kingpin that essentially becomes just like a tutorial to take on the brute enemies that you see almost in every thug battle. The fog that follows, it's the same exact battle. And then we have like the shocker battle, which I thought was pretty good.
Yeah.
And then it kind of like falls off the rails because like for a long time we don't have any boss battles. And then they follow up with a couple other boss battles that just feel very underwhelming. And unfortunately, the final battle, as epic as it looks, it's just pure repetition.
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It's just...
It should be epic, really. Because, like, I mean, it's a Spider-Man game with these grandiose bosses. And it should be, to me, some of the most memorable boss battles of this generation.
Yeah,
it just felt really underwhelming in that aspect.
You should have been web slinging rockets together and hurling them at an enemy who could take the explosion. that would have been good.
That would have been great. That really would have.
Yeah, I know. As it is, though, it's a very fun game. The core gameplay is just so fun. You will definitely not mind anything that we've talked about here. I mean, if you own a PS4 and you don't have this game yet, you need to remedy that.
Yeah, yeah, hands down.
Yeah, because, like I suggested, it's probably going to be a contender for Game of the Year for pretty much everyone. I mean, like I said, I'm more than willing to give it the Todd Howard Award for It Just Works. Like, if nothing else. And that is absolutely high praise. Because I've complained more than once about games like being so up their own butt with certain things that they're kind of counterintuitive when they start to play.
Yeah.
Like, some of my favorite games this year have had this problem. And thankfully some of the ones have avoided that problem. But, yeah, this is definitely one of those games that's not too deep into the realm of turds. Before we attack that obvious segue, do you have anything else you want to say?
No, I just say pick it up. I say, well, honestly, if you're sick of open world sandbox games, maybe just rent it just to see if you really want to get into it. But if you're if you're just ready to play another one, this is one of the best ones you can get.
Absolutely.
Especially on the PS4.
Absolutely.
And if this is the beginning of a franchise, I cannot wait for a sequel.
Oh, absolutely. Oh, man, I can't wait until we fight Lady Stiltman. I had to bring that back. But, so as I foreshadowed with the obvious reference, the other thing we're going to be talking about is Venom, our 2018 film that is based on the Spider-Man adjacent character, but cannot reference Spider-Man.
I really thought you were going to say our 2018 movie of the year.
No. No, I'm the snobbish type that will probably end up picking something like Star Is Born or First Man.
Oh, man.
Although, of course, I mentioned earlier in the year some movies that made me cry. Thankfully, this is not one of them. Because if I did, they would probably be for negative reasons. Because, man, I was not looking forward to seeing this movie.
Oh, yeah. The conversation we had before we decided to do this audio. Oh, Peter was grieving. He was just, come on. We got to find something else. We gotta...
Okay, I gotta say it. This movie had one of the worst trailers, like, probably since Friday the 13th, Part 8. Where Jason was advertised to take Manhattan.
Oh, yeah!
And he in no way took Manhattan. They advertised this movie as something else entirely than what it was. For the most... Okay, with some exceptions. I mean, Venom still shows up.
Yeah, but it was a buddy comedy.
Exactly! Like this. Okay, I need to get through the backstory before we get too far into this. So, Sony owns the film rights to the Spider-Man universe. They let... Marvel do co-ownership of Spider-Man, but to have an independent property, they took Venom, Spider-Man's anti-hero slash enemy, and they gave him an origin separate from Spider-Man, so Sony, through Columbia Pictures, could produce Venom movies without Spider-Man. This is already kind of convoluted. Thankfully, they have one of my favorite leading mans in Hollywood right now, Tom Hardy, which is important because one of the things I'm going to praise about this movie is Tom Hardy's performance.
Oh my goodness, yes.
Right? I mean, like, it was... And he didn't have his face covered the entire time. Just part of the time. Because, once again, Tom Hardy seems to love having his face covered. whether it's being Bane, Mad Max, or a World War II fighter pilot.
Or even having fake mustaches and beards and goatees, too. Like, he loves having fake facial hair, too.
Or pretending to be a woman.
Yeah.
I believe that's what he did in Inception at one point.
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that. I'm just saying that's what happened.
Oh, he loves his costumes.
Yep. So, he's still Eddie Brock. The symbiote is still Venom. And, like, all the symbiote stuff is still there, but there's no Spider-Man.
Right.
Unfortunately, okay.
Also, we have to mention too. There's no New York in this scenario.
Oh yeah, it's San Francisco.
Yeah,
isn't it?
I was so shocked because I had no idea it was supposed to be in San Francisco, and then I see the Golden Gate Bridge. I'm like, what is going on here?
I know. Like, okay. Because we call it a buddy cop movie. I'm trying to think of how to sum this up. I think I want to talk about. There's a really good movie in here. Which makes it so, and I don't hate the movie nearly as much as I thought I would. I don't even really kind of hate it. I'm more just disappointed because this movie's second act is really good.
Yeah.
Like the first act is pretty boring. It's fine.
I mean, it sets the stage fine, but I mean, it's extraordinary.
It's really not that inspired. I mean, like it's coasting on the charm of the actors, bar none.
Right.
Because it's very flat, and like we talked before about how if it's like, oh, if you've seen this before, then you're probably going to be a little sick of this. Yeah, that tenfold for this movie. Because the stuff that it does that you've seen before, you are going to be sick of. But once he finally becomes Venom, or merges with Venom, oh my god, I was not expecting it to be this good. I really was. I had no idea that they were going to pull this off. Because, yeah, it's a buddy comedy where it's essentially Tom Hardy constantly arguing with a shoulder devil.
Yeah!
And Venom's his shoulder devil.
Yes.
And, like, it's also, by the way, I want to mention, by the way, they originally advertised this as being R-rated, and then they changed it to PG-13. Yeah, you can tell.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Because it's still got some pretty hilariously gratuitous moments, which are suitable, but it's like it's kind of disappointing that they toned it down. Because it really would have livened up some of the action scenes.
Yeah, there was actually one point in the movie where we get revealed to like what's become the big boss in the end of it, And he has a moment where if this was an R-rated film, he would have had people just strolled across the room. It would have been so disturbing the way he killed those people. But since it was PG-13, it was like, okay, bodies just fly to the side.
Like, just they should have been sheared in half and all that stuff. It's
You should have seen like a whole bunch of blood just spewing behind.
You know what? I'm gonna. It's a very small spoiler, but I'm gonna warn people because I want to make a joke about this.
Okay.
Well, so the main villain of the film is the symbiote Riot,
Yes.
and well, there's a reason the Kaiser Chiefs didn't predict that in this movie because he is not a Riot. You're welcome. That was a Kaiser Chiefs reference.
First of all, he's not a riot as a character, and the person that he is used as a host isn't a riot either.
I know. It's for like Riz Ahmed or Ahmed or however it's pronounced. I like some of the stuff he's done. Man, is he just given the most paper thin character to work with.
I don't know if you saw this. This is a very minor spoiler, but like after he becomes Riot, but he's still, of course, like you said, just like with Eddie Brock, you're not in full symbiote the entire time. And there was a part where he was like in the he was in a laboratory and he was telling the people what they need to do, and there was a guy behind them that gave a look like, what in the world did he just say? And I thought it was going to be like something that meant something in the overall plot.
Nope.
No, it didn't.
I know, this is the criminal thing about this movie. They had a really good idea. They actually knew how to execute the idea, because everything that goes on in the middle of the movie with Tom Hardy and Venom, like Eddie Brock and Venom, is like it is way better than I thought the film had any right to be. And I was like, holy hell, this movie might actually be really good. Then the third act came, and
Oh, I can.
it just became the most uninspired, hard to follow. Like, that was one of the
Actions.
biggest.
I mean, just
Yeah, because it's
action
like.
sequences with two very dark colored
Yeah.
CGI enemies
In a dark
in a
area.
dark area.
Yeah, like. It's like, hey, what if Pacific Rim was just a fight between two dark blobs? Like,
And that was definitely a terrible part, a terrible
I know.
idea. I think one of the biggest problems, which is something that, of course, they tried to get away with, was the fact that Venom is not connected to Spider-Man. So without the logo, it's very hard to just to describe how much he looked like his enemy in this scenario.
I
I mean,
know.
you look at, and we talked about it in the last podcast with Predator. When we had the Predator battles, when we had one that's a much bigger Predator than the other, so you could tell the difference between the two.
Yeah, and I think they had like different shoulder armor or something too.
They were outfitted differently. Whereas this is just like two blobs with sharp teeth and skin up
I know.
eyes.
It's worse than the fight scene from Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like, you know, the remake, the CGI one. Because at least that CGI battle was during the day where green things were fighting a gray thing. So it was bright and you could see what was going on.
Exactly.
It still wasn't necessarily that
Good,
good,
but
but it
at
was
least it could make out what
you
was
could
going
follow
on.
it. Like, this is the problem. It's especially the third, like the first act is fine.
Yeah, just
It's
foundation
boring
setting.
and maybe goes on a little long,
Yeah.
but it's fine. The second act is really, really, really
Yes.
good.
We can actually talk a little bit about the second act, because sweaty Tom Hardy is the best Tom Hardy.
Oh my God. Like, just I honestly don't know what, I don't know how much I want to get. Like, it's just the logic battle and the just the codependency and everything that goes on with those two. It's everything I wanted, and it's one of the reasons I'm so frustrated that the other stuff they set up with the movie that could have been interesting. Because I think we could say what happens with where the symbiotes come from. Like, when the symbiotes land on Earth, there's four of them.
Yeah.
And so it seems like it could be doing like a Planet of the Symbiotes thing, which is a famous comic story, storyline, stuff like that, where like you're going to explore the relationship between the symbiotes.
Right.
Nope. They don't do that.
No, because I mean, pretty much, I know one of them dies.
Two of them died.
It was two.
Yeah. No, two of them die.
I could not even identify what happened to the fourth one.
Yeah, no, the only two that make it to the end are Venom and Riot.
Wow.
And yeah, so like I'm not gonna give it away, but if they end up doing a sequel and they end up bringing in Carnage, they'll probably go with the comic origin where Venom produced Carnage.
Yeah.
Because they can't just say, oh, that one was Carnage. Well,
Right.
because.
Yeah, that's screwed up.
Yeah, which is a shame because, yeah, they did lay some groundwork for a sequel, and the sequel seems way more interesting than this movie.
It's funny because even with the setup of a sequel, I don't know if the character that we play, the character that I don't want to spoil, is actually going to be
Yeah,
that
no,
person.
don't spoil that, but I
No,
really hope it
but
is, 'cause that if it is, that's amazing
that's going to be
casting.
great. That is going to be great. But it was just
Oh,
like,
like
it
that's
seemed like they
why.
almost did like a last minute cast. Like, oh, you get him? Oh, let's bring him in.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, 'cause it's a total cameo, but it's like, ooh,
Yeah.
don't you play that devil game with me. You better bring it. Oh, 'cause yeah, it's. Look, you get the first course. It's like the unwelcome glass of water you have to drink to make sure you don't die. You get the second act. It's the good stuff. It's the steak and potatoes with the Caesar salad. It's a full meal. It's delicious. It's fantastic. And then they serve you dessert, and it's a turd. A turd in the wind, if you will.
I will spoil this, no joke. They love that scene for some reason that
Yeah.
they put in the trailers. Like every trailer of Venom was a turn in the wind. It was in there, and the fact that they saved that for so long in the movie is almost absurd.
I know.
Like
Like,
somebody
I.
wrote this. They read it in the comic. They thought it would go so well, and they filmed it. And for some
Yeah.
reason, whoever made the decision loved that scene so much that, you know what, this is gonna be the perfect way.
No.
No, it's not.
No. It's absolute. Like, I still hate that scene. I like some of the stuff around the scene. Because there's some interesting stuff
It's
that goes
actually
into it.
funny because like the part directly after was actually more entertaining than that part itself.
Well, exactly. This is what I'm saying. Like, this is what annoys me so much, is they trailered one of the most uninteresting, stupid 90s edgelord moments in the movie, when there's so much more interesting, actually, like, social commentary and like so much other stuff. Like, like when Tom Hardy's on and he's just interacting with Venom, it's some of my favorite things for a comic book movie this year. No joke. It's just, man, I'm actually angrier at this movie than I was with all the stupid trailers. I'm like, well, that looks terrible. It's like, oh my God, we almost had something
Actually had something that
phenomenal.
was decent, and
I know, like, as it is, it's just okay. Which is so annoying because the second act is so, like, I think I'm gushing about this as much as I was gushing about the freaking combat in Spider-Man.
Spider-Man.
Like, oh. Like, I'm genuinely angry that they didn't put enough thought into it. It's just, I don't know what else I can say at this point.
No, it's one of those things. Like, I would say like maybe they'll learn from their mistakes, but I just don't see it happening.
I don't know. Like, I don't think we're potentially screwed on having a sequel because the movie already made quite a bit of money.
Right.
Like, it's been out for about a week and it's made over $230 million domestically. So, I mean, if it makes like half a million, they could totally go for a sequel. And I'd say they have a decent shot at it, especially because there's this really stupid conspiracy where, was it supposedly fans of Lady Gaga for sta for
Oh yeah, do the
was
negative reviews.
yeah, and there's
I
definitely.
saw the one, my favorite one was that said the child was traumatized and in a coma.
Yeah. Sorry, A Star Is Born. That's the movie it's supposedly competing against. Yeah,
Yes. Yeah,
but
those are very similar audiences there.
right, it's you always run into this. It's like when Scott Pilgrim, The Expendables, and Eat, Pray, Love came out the same week. Three fairly different audiences, and yeah, two of those ended up being box office successes. Sadly, the one I liked probably the most out of those three didn't, because I'm a bit a great fan to begin with, so of course I like Scott Pilgrim. But yeah, in this case, it's like, no, look, Venom's gonna make the money, but A Star Is Born's probably gonna get nominated for most of the Oscars.
Right.
I mean, I haven't even seen it, I'm willing to bet, because considering the critical praise I've seen for it and everything. And not to mention it's got original songs, so if nothing else, it'll probably get nominated for original songs. But no, Venom, like, if you were worried because of what the trailer showed you, it's not that bad. Like I said, the second act, like, when they really get into the Venom Eddie Brock relationship, is really good, and there's something we haven't mentioned in this, which I don't want to spoil, and you might go, oh, that's what they meant, because some people have kind of jokingly teased this scene, and it's actually pretty clever. But yeah, it's better than I thought it was going to be, but it's more disappointing in a way because of that.
It feels like a superhero movie, a comic book movie that came out in the early 2000s. Like,
it feels like a way better version of Spawn.
Yeah! that was the funny thing I didn't want to say. Like, that was the thing I was thinking about when I said it. It was like, it feels like Spawn, but better.
Well, yeah, well, Spawn had a more interesting villain, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Because the other had Mega, you know, super crazy Martin Sheen just hamming it up. Or he had freaking John Leguizamo having the time of his life.
That was the most fun I've ever had watching John. Like, really.
Yeah, even if some of his dialogue isn't great.
Yeah, no, it wasn't, but it was still, he was having so much fun.
Yeah. Well, I think on that note, as my voice is starting to go, I want to thank you for being here today, James.
Oh, yeah. We got turds to chase that are blowing in the wind, so we got to go.
Yeah.
So many turds fly through the air right now.
I'm just going to be livid just thinking about it, because I'm like, man, this movie.
I mean, it's going to be forever connected to that scene now, because they've shown it so many times.
I know. I got so sick of that line, which is what... Well, it's like, I really hope we don't get a repeat of this with the Teen Titans thing, because I got so sick of people playing the Batman bit.
Yeah.
And if it turns out to actually be good, I'm going to be shocked.
Yeah.
Ugh. Guess we'll see. But in the meantime, folks, you know what? Don't F Batman. And always support your friend, even if they really just want to kill people.
They want to chase turds in the wind.
Yeah, or bite someone's head off. Just maybe talk them down, you know?
Just give them some tater tots. They'll be happy.
Oh, tater tots are great. Just ask Roman Reigns. There's your wrestling reference that is coming out of nowhere and going out of nowhere. Till next time.